Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet,
sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. Today I have the pleasure of having Phil Chapa. He is going to talk about his new book called My Views on Today's Economy. He is a global economic expert. If you want to chime in on the conversation, you can go ahead and pose a question in the chat room, or you can go ahead and email at info@Apple Capital Group, or you can call into the studios at 347-324-3460. Phil, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Tim. It's great to be with you.
Great. I guess to begin with, viewers like to hear personal stories about a person. So kind of tell us about yourself for those who don't know about you.
Well, I have a very odd background, to be honest, to be doing what I do. I actually was a Catholic priest for 18 and a half years, and I left in 2001 in excellent standing, which, unfortunately, Tim, you have to say today, have since married. But when I did leave, I went directly into banking, which, talk about serving God and mammon, but I did go directly into banking. And from there, gained my certified trust and financial advisor license and went on then finally to Smith Barney, worked with Smith Barney for a couple of years, got my Series 7 and 66, my insurance licenses, then went to work for a fraternal benefit society before last year at this time, my business partner and I opened up our own independent financial services firm because we felt that we could do better. You know, we didn't have to meet quotas. We could take people who had less than $1 million. We were able to offer more products. And then somehow in the middle of all of this, I got into media, and I have a nationally syndicated radio show in 149 markets, I think, today. I always lose track with my syndicator. And also do a lot of interviews like this. So it's been a great ride, and now I'm into writing, and I do a lot of blogging on my website, and I blog for Credit.com and ConsumerismCommentary.com, Wall Street Journal, et cetera.
Well, thank you. I mean, it's a really privilege for me to have you on the show, so I'm to learn a lot from you. I guess segue into your book. Tell us about your book and how did you write the book and what inspired you really to write the book?
Well, you know, this is the first of two books, and this actually started when I started writing blogs, and my publicist at the time really wanted me to start writing because I was doing a lot of TV and a lot of radio, but she said, you know, the written word is something that's always going to stay with people. So the impetus for this was really to put down my thoughts. So this is a collection of about 23 blogs that are tied in together that talk about everything from what to watch out for with a financial advisor all the way to, you know, what's going on in China and Brazil, what's going on in this country, what's going on with the euro. And this is a preface to my next book, which is actually going to be more than an e-book. It's going to be a published book. And my literary agent already has some publishers interested, which is called Wake Up America, The World is in Your Wallet. Because a lot of people do not realize that their day-to-day living is really, Tim, defined by what's going on in the world. Even if you're not in the stock market, it's defined by what's going on in the world. And we probably don't have to go any farther than the gas station to have learned that lesson.
Yeah, I'm there with you. What do you think where we headed economically? I mean, we're Congress is deadlocked. The world, is teetering again. We're just like they're on the fence and they're about to fall one way or the other. What do you think? How did we get here, in your opinion?
Well, we got here because the world grew so fast. The world did not have the infrastructure to really hold on to the technology and all the developments that have gone on in the past, I'd say, about 40 years. And so little by little, we've been spending a lot of money, but we've been spending it a little bit, let's say, irreverently and irresponsibly. So, for instance, in the United States right now, as I'm sure many of your listeners realize, our national economy is smaller than our national debt. That is a horrible thing to have happen, that our national debt is so high that now it's bigger than the economy. And people say, well, look at Greece. Greece is such a mess. Well, Greece's debt is equal to their economy, so we're in worse shape. I think that what happened in Europe, which has led up to the problem, is that the euro has been a disaster. My stance economically is the euro has got to go. We've got to get rid of it. We have to return people to national currencies. National currencies provided competitive spirit. It provided better import and export trading. And Europe being our biggest partner in trade, with it now hurting, it is severely impacting how much imports we can bring in and the exports going out. They just can't afford what we export to them. So very often they're now turning to China and Japan, and that becomes a very difficult situation because China, of course, is not necessarily our friend in the world economy. And in fact, China is a very dangerous threat to our economy because they're so strong and their currency has really increased in strength, whereas our currency has become less and less of importance. And I'll just give an example, not to ramble on, but whenever there's trade in the world, Tim, they always trade, no matter what it is, between different companies, they always trade between their different currencies based upon the value of the dollar. So let's say you're trading between the euro and the yen. They would say, okay, what we're going to pay for this in euros is dependent upon what the value of the dollar is compared to both our currencies. For the first time in history, 2 weeks ago, China and Japan began to trade with each other, ignoring the U.S. dollar. Which, what does that mean? The U.S. dollar now is becoming insignificant on the world market.
Wow.
So that's really bad news. That's the bad news. Now, the good news is American entrepreneurship has always gotten us through, and I do believe it's there. Because I don't want to present to your audience, doom and gloom and, oh, my God, what's going to happen next, and are we even going to exist as a nation? The reality is that doom and gloom is not the answer. The answer is we have to put our entrepreneurial spirit back to work. We have to be extremely industrious in some of the new technologies that we're using. And to be honest with you, we have to get government out of Main Street. Let business run business. Let Wall Street adjust itself as Wall Street is supposed to. Have regulations so fraud doesn't occur. But even with the regulations we have, fraud is occurring because they can't quite police well enough. But you've got to leave people alone to do what they need to do. And our small businesses are hurting because of over-regulation by the federal government.
What type of regulation is going on that is in hampering business?
Well, the first thing that's going on is a new business, a startup, and I don't care what President Obama says or Mitt Romney says, does not have the ability to get money to even start up. There's no ability to get loans. You have to be in business for at least 1 year in order for you to be able to get the money. So the old startup money that used to be there, that banks would lend to you because of good faith and belief in your project and in your business plan, is no longer there. That's a real shame, because that is just a negation of everything that we've done. So they've over-regulated who can get money, how they can get money, and when they can get money. So that's the first problem. Now, on Wall Street, the problem is They've set up the necessary regulations, but the problem is nobody's policing them. So you have the Bernie Madoffs, you have the J.P. Morgan Chase, you have the problems that are going on, because even though they have laws, these big institutions that are monolithic are able to get around them because who's really checking on them? You know, you can't, I can't, the government can't. And yet the government continues to wield its authority, and as it wields its authority, you know, all it does is make noise, but it's not producing action. So you've got, you know, the government in the face of small business, you've got it in the face of Wall Street, and all that's leading to is companies leaving this country, setting up shop in third world countries, and our economy is going down because our unemployment is going up.
Well, do you think, is this a two-edged sword? I mean, some companies will, from taxes to this or that, relocate in another country, but however, if you keep doing that, you're affecting your own country. So your base, you're eroding your base, because if everybody does that and nobody's here and they kind of spread everything across the country, then where's your, who are you going to actually sell to? Because you can pull yourself apart so much.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, that's what I'm saying. You pull yourself apart so much that there's nobody actually to consume.
Well, this is where global interdependence is helping them, though. If Company X moves to India, even if they can't sell their trade over here to the U.S., they've got hundreds of other countries that are looking for that, so they're able to sell elsewhere. But the problem is some of the things that are being traded elsewhere are still things that we need out of necessity, so no matter what happens, we are still going to buy what it is that they're selling because we need it. I mean, some of these are not luxury items, they're needs. So, you know, it is a two-edged sword, but it doesn't seem to be hurting the companies that have left this country. And with President Obama just the other day saying that two things that I think were, you know, and I'm not, this is not a pro-Romney approach by any means, but Obama
sure.
said two very idiotic things the other day. One is he said small businesses in this country are just fine. Now, I don't know what he's spoken, but I want some of that. And secondly, he said that he wants to propose that companies who are operating here in this country do not have to pay taxes if they're a foreign company. They only have to pay taxes to their foreign government. Well, if they're operating on our country's, you know, dime, don't you think they should be paying taxes into it? So that has
Absolutely.
Just come back and slapped him in the face horribly. You know, this was not the time to make stupid statements.
You're absolutely right. We're going to take a break real quick, and we're going to go ahead and
okay.
talk more about your book, and we'll be back with in probably less than 1 minute.
You're listening to The Core Business Show, sponsored by Apple Capital Group. Apple Capital Group in Jacksonville, Florida is a commercial lender that specializes in asset-based loans, equipment leasing and financing, invoice financing, commercial real estate loans, and asset-based financing in the U.S. and Canada. Apple Capital Group is a direct lender that lends on their private equity investment portfolio. 90% of most loans are decided within 2 hours, and vendor funding within 24 hours after documents are completed with a one-page application. No slow no's, just a quick decision and a fast yes. To get more information about lending from Apple Capital Group, call 866-611-7457. That's 866-611-7457 to speak with one of our loan specialists. Or visit us right now at applecapitalgroup.com. Welcome back to The Core. Once again, here's Tim Jacquet.
We're back with Phil Ciampa. We're talking about his new book called My Views on Today's Economy. And Phil, just kind of, we were just talking about the President Obama's comment that he made. Do you think that, again, this is the first time we have in history that, you know, the Supreme Court is going to make a decision one way or the other on what the law is, the interpretation is on the law in the next couple of weeks. It can go either way, pro or against, and then you feel the administration will be pretty much in a proactive or reactive type mode, either if it's in their favor, then it's great for them. If it's against their favor, then they have to do damage control. And they'll play, of course, into the Rummy campaign. What are your opinion on if it goes this way or go that way? What's going to happen to our economy?
Well, I think that if Europe indeed does continue to fall, because Greece is just the beginning, as you know, Spain is next, Italy, Portugal, Hungary, of all countries, is now having trouble. You know, we're going to have to keep bailing them out. And, you know, the European Union just gave Greece 100 billion euros. Well, how many billion euros does anybody have to give? And I can guarantee you, Tim, that part of those euros that were given were originally American dollars that we gave to the European Union. So it's going to mean that this government is going to have to create what I call funny money, because there's very little behind our dollar now, to pass on for them to translate into a euro to give to these other countries. I mean, really, you know, the strength over there right now is the United Kingdom. And, of course, they were just, you know, ripped apart when they chose not to go to the euro and to retain the British pound. And now they can sit back and, you know, Queen Elizabeth's government can say, ha, 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 we knew this wouldn't work. But now they want to come to her for a bank, you know. And the same with Germany. I mean, you know, Chancellor Angela Merkel, who is a brilliant woman, is saying there's just so much money that can be given out. And then, of course, we have the French elections, where now the new socialist prime minister, Hollande, is in there. And he ran on the platform that no more help to Europe, that we have to take care of ourselves. And he has learned very quickly, Tim, that's not the way government works. Remember, Europe is socialistic. So there is a different approach. And it's not an approach that's isolationist, nor an approach that's capitalistic in our sense. So, you know, Hollande's honeymoon lasted about, oh, I would say maybe a day. And that was it.
Wow. What a pickle, what a mess. You know, these bailouts can only go so far, and these countries have to realize, you know, pocket's only going to go so far. So you're really going to have to either help solve your own issues, and you can't really depend on anybody else, because, like I said, you only can go so far with the money. You can't bail out every single country and be able to sustain your own self.
That's right.
Go ahead.
Both Governor Romney and President Obama understand that, but I don't think they're getting into the explanations that the American people need to hear and need to know as to why that is the case and what we're going to do to protect our own economy. You know, the American people, I believe, are talked down to both by economists and politicians, and yet what they need to realize is the American people are savvy. They're smart. They want answers. And if they don't get these answers, they're going to start looking elsewhere. I predict, that's a little bit off the topic, but within the next 10 to 20 years, you're actually going to see a third-party candidate become president.
Do you think the dynamics has really changed within the last couple of years with the Tea Party? Do you think that really had a huge impact on how they got things done? When they took those incentives out, from the pact, I forget what it's called, my mind just went blank. But, you know, the incentives they normally would give to districts, and when they took those out and then at the same time had this new party come into play, then it caused a gridlock. Now there's no incentive for the other congressman to give to the other person and say, hey, I'll give this to your district. You didn't have that anymore. And then you had another party come in who would just say no to everything. They're not going to do this and that. How do you think this is going to play out? Because now the whole dynamics in 2 years has changed, and whoever becomes president next year, they have, you know, do you really want these issues? Because someone has going to make some ugly choices in the next administration, and it is not going to be nice.
And wouldn't you and I and your listeners appreciate somebody who got up there and said, if I'm president, these are the ugly things we're going to have to do. It's not going to be all, you know, wine and roses. Unfortunately, these candidates still think that they can just say whatever political rhetoric they want to and we're going to buy into it. Those days, I think, have rapidly come to an end. As far as the Tea Party is concerned, the Tea Party has gotten members into Congress. They have, you know, kind of flexed their muscles. But the Tea Party is not as strong as people think. If they were, Mitt Romney would not be your candidate on the Republican side. Mm-hmm. He is as un-Tea Party as they get as a Republican. So they've got a lot more work to do if they're going to, you know, really shore up their base. Now, they may, Tim, actually be able to influence who his vice presidential candidate is. However, let's face it, unless, God forbid, something happens to the President of the United States, does whoever is vice president really make that much difference in the presidential election? I mean, Obama got elected with Joe Biden, so, you know, I don't think it made a lot of difference.
No. Because we were just facing a crisis at that time. But like, it'd be wonderful for them just to say what the facts and the truth are and say, well, I'm just going to speak the truth. These is what we're facing, issues we're facing with. And regardless of whoever comes to the White House in January of next year, you have some ugly choices to make. And that's across the board because our time has ran out.
Exactly. Yeah. You're 100% on target.
With your book, your articles, My Views on Today's Economy, is anything that in those articles point out what you predict is going to happen within the next 5 to 10 years, in your opinion?
Well, I do predict, A, that the euro is going to be history. That it will not be the euro, or it's going to begin to phase out. Number two, I believe that you're going to see Brazil emerge as a leading country in export and also in the mining of gold, which, of course, is always what everybody wants to get their hands on, even though it may fluctuate. I think that you're going to see retirement plans disappear from companies, which is going to severely impact when people can retire because they're not going to have the ability to save in an IRA the amount of money they can save in a 401k. I also think that you're going to see a devaluation of the dollar, which is going to lead to our inability to pay for those items that we need. And I think the other thing that, you know, I would highlight is that more than ever, not just because I'm a financial advisor, but everybody deserves a financial advisor. And in this day and age, I don't care if you've got $5,000 in the bank or you've got $5 million, you need to be sitting with a professional who can help you and guide you. And the day of do-it-yourself is long over. It is long, long over, and people need to get that message.
When it comes to people looking for advisors and planning their own path, what advice will you give them? Hey, this is that, because we have so many articles, so many things on the blog, so many books out there. What is a simple path that they really need to effectively save money and to plan their financials for life, you know, their retirement, well, this and that. But
the very first thing they want to do, Tim, is decide what their dreams, goals, and objectives are. You know, any financial planner who walks into a prospect's house and says, "How much money do you have? Let's see what you have, and we'll figure it out from there," you should invite out the door. It should start with, what are your goals and objectives? What is it that you need? What do you want? And then from there, what you do is you see what people have and you diversify. You create as many buckets, as I call them, as possible. You might have something that's annuitized. You might have some money in insurance. You're going to go on later. And don't pay a lot of interest. You always want to have money in the bank because it's your emergency fund. You're going to want to have money in investments, and you're going to watch those investments very prudently to be very careful about how they are being extended on them, you know, and how you're doing and the returns that you have. And then you're going to want to possibly, if you have enough money, look at commodities like gold and silver and maybe hold some of those, but you know, not being a commodities broker, I would not even know where to begin, you know, except to send you to a very decent commodities broker to talk about how to do that. But gold and silver is very popular. I think there's great basis for using it. But you definitely want to have everything in your portfolio. And the more balanced your portfolio, the better off you're going to be. And that's whether you're saving for education or retirement, or if you want to buy a big house in the Bahamas. Whatever the case may be, you got to diversify.
Wow. Anything else you would like to leave us with before we leave?
Just, you know, I'd encourage folks, if they can, to go on, look at my book, My Views on Today's Economy, and you can find that on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Also, my website, philchapa.com, that's C-I-O-P-P-A. Again, philchapa.com, and they can learn about me. They can read other blogs that I've written, see what's going on, see the kinds of guests I have coming up. I've got Ralph Nader coming on in a couple weeks. I've got Leslie Marshall, who is an ultra-liberal, coming on in a couple weeks. So I try to run the gamut. And I think it's important for everyone out there, the last thing I'd want to mention, listen to all the voices, but you are your best economist.
Absolutely. Well said. I really appreciate you coming to the show. Again, what is your website address?
Phil, P-H-I-L, Chapa, C-I-O-P-P-A.com.
Great. Phil, I really appreciate you coming on to the program. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. You have a wonderful day.
Same here. Take care. Again, it's been another production of The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. You can download this episode on Blog Talk Radio on iTunes, or you can get some information also on blog.applecapitalgroup. Everybody, thank you for listening to the program, and have a great day.
Thank you for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For more information about equipment financing and asset-based loans, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. Or call us at 866-611-7457. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to The Core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. And thanks again for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.